Bethlehem and all that took place in a surrounding village, and I wish that we could all go there. I wish that every one of us would be able to take off and just go and see what they saw, to be where they were, although that would be a little bit of a trek for us. I just Googled it this afternoon, just curious to see how far it would be, and it's about 5,506 miles. If we were to, from Boston to Bethlehem, 5,506 miles. It would take us a little while to get there. Unfortunately, we don't have the time, and yet I want you to go there in your mind with me tonight, if you would, just to take a little trip. That's where the goal of everything that sort of happens tonight, that Bethlehem is the focal point. It is the center of activity for this evening, and as we think about what God did in order to bring about this amazing fulfillment of promise, we realize that Bethlehem had long ago been foretold to be the center of something that would be a fulfillment of God's promises, where the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. God spoke this about 750 years prior to when the time period of the first century, when the reading that was just read to you a little while ago was taking place. God had prophesied through the prophet Micah that this would be the center for the town in which the Messiah would be born. He says in Micah 5:2, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old and from ancient of days." So God had prophesied and warned in advance that Bethlehem would be the place that the Messiah would be born. So even anyone can discover this. This is not secret knowledge. When the wise men find their way into this region, they get into Jerusalem and they ask around, where is the Messiah to be born? And King Herod doesn't know, so he asks the wise men to tell us, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? They know the answer. They can look it up. They know exactly where this was to take place, and it was to be Bethlehem. But there's a problem. Joseph and Mary don't live in Bethlehem. They live in Nazareth, which is about 85 miles or so north of Bethlehem. And so God has to do something in order for this promise to be fulfilled. And I would just remind you, this is the distinguishing mark of how we discern what is from God and what is not. Is this a fulfillment of prophecy? If you're here tonight and you're wondering about, just this stuff about Jesus just can't be true, I would encourage you, go dig around and look at the prophecies that were fulfilled in his life. I counted 113 once a long time ago. Went through all of the Bible looking at Old Testament references and New Testament fulfillments, the events that take place surrounding Jesus' life. Some have found more. I found 113 specific fulfillments like this. Prophet Micah writing 750 years before Jesus would show up. And he's born in Bethlehem just like it was foretold. And yet, how does God get them from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Well, God has the ability to move the hearts of men. Proverbs 21:1 tells us, God turns the hearts of kings like he turns streams. And so God put it into the heart of either Caesar Augustus or Quirinius to call for a national census and requiring every person to register in their hometown. And since Joseph was of the town of David, was of the lineage of David, he was a descendant of King David, that meant he had to go back to David's town, which is Bethlehem. And so God orchestrates a national census in order to get his people, Joseph and Mary, into Bethlehem in order to fulfill the promise of Messiah, so that we would know Jesus really is the Messiah. And so that's what unfolds. So they make this journey. They arrive there. And after they arrive, then Mary delivers Jesus. And so what I want you to think about for just a few minutes is this message. If you were here with us this morning, we notice that God does thousands of things that we can't see. And yet every once in a while, he pulls back the curtain so we can see. And he calls an angel to come and announce to these shepherds, the Messiah has just been born in Bethlehem. And here's how you can find him. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This is the message that was given them. But he says something particular in verses 10 to 12. I just want to read it again. The angel said to them, to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." This good news of great joy is what I think our attention should center around for just a few minutes. Is this really good news? Where's the great joy? And one focal point is that the person who was born that day in Bethlehem was Jesus. And remember, his name means Yahweh saves. Jesus is a Savior who comes to save. And save us from our sins. Jesus came to save, not to condemn. So we have wonderful verses in the Bible that tell us that God so loved the world, he loved the world in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Which that tells us we stand in danger of perishing for some reason. Something's happening that causes us to be in danger, and Jesus came to save us from that danger. The next couple of verses I want to read for you. Because it tells us Jesus saves and doesn't condemn. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Because whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Meaning the world already is under a state of condemnation. This world is broken. It is filled with sin. That's what brokenness has entered in the world through sin. How did that begin? The Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve first disobeyed God's command, they sinned. That was their sin. To break God's law is to sin. And then that sin brought the condemnation of death. And the entire globe was cursed because of that. Every one of us suffer under being living in a world that's broken. So we all feel the weight of that. And yet Jesus came to save us from that condemnation and deliver us from the penalty of that sin, because that was the mission that God sent him on, because of the love of God overflowing out of him and towards us. So Jesus came as a Savior. And there are several reasons that the Bible gives for exactly the ways in which Jesus came to undo that curse. One of them is found in 1 John 3. John was an apostle who lived with Jesus, and he says this: "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." Yes, there is a devil. Jesus came to undo his work, and that work is sinning. Whenever there's sin unfolding in our world, the devil is at work. That does not mean that we get to blame him and we're off the hook. The devil made me do it. It's not an excuse that will get you out of trouble. And yet, we hold the responsibility for our actions. But when we give in to sin, when we sin against God's will, we are going contrary to his will. We're breaking God's law. We're actually doing what the devil would want us to do, whether we know that or not. That's what the Bible tells us. And Jesus has come to undo that. He has come to put away and destroy the works of the devil. That's the purpose for which Jesus came. He came to bring righteousness and undo sin. He came to be that person who would bear the sins of those who would trust him so that we could escape condemnation. The condemnation is already over the whole world. We see it every day. Read the news, open any website, somebody else is confessing sexual sin. This world is entirely broken. Our desires are way off base. We're out of control. And yet the only way that we can get under control is by having ourselves, our desires transformed. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil by completely obeying the law of God, by lovingly doing what we could not do for ourselves, by living obediently and then by willingly laying down his life so that those who trust in him could be rescued from that condemnation, God's just condemnation of sin. That's why Jesus came. He came to undo that curse and to put us in a place of blessing. He does that by destroying sin. Because Jesus was holy, in him there is no sin. 1 John 3:5 says this, "You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, because in him there is no sin." This is a truth that sort of boggles our mind. How could Jesus have done this? How could he accomplish all of the will of the Father? But this we believe by faith. We trust this. This is what the Bible tells us. And the Bible says, if anyone would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, he'll be saved. And so I invite you, consider this little baby who came, who was foretold thousands of years before he arrived, specifically where he was going to be born, the events of his life. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus arrived that he would be pierced and broken and his beard pulled out and he would be spat upon and mocked and made fun of. All of these details point us to an understanding that this little baby that we are celebrating his birthday came to be a savior. He came to take away the sins of all who would trust in him. And if these things are confusing, then I would encourage you, explore, go dig into God's word, pray, ask him to say, if Jesus is your son, can you help me see it? There are people in this room who have come to a place of faith by praying that prayer. God, if you're real, I need you to show me because I don't see it. If you're one of those people, I would invite you, begin to pray that. Pray that God would show you how in the world it is that this little child, Jesus, the Messiah, could be the one who was prophesied long ago. And he will show you, I promise. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for doing all that you have done. Hundreds of years, thousands of years in advance, planning and bringing about the birth of the Messiah, the Savior. And Jesus, we thank you for laying down your life. We thank you for being willing to enter our brokenness and to live perfectly obedient and accomplish all of the will of the Father so that those of us who would trust in you could be saved from the condemnation that already rests upon this world. Thank you for loving us so much that you would do that. Lord, I pray that your love would seep into every soul here tonight in a new and fresh way. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.